For the very beginning of 2012, it's a very John Cusack episode of Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's another episode of Video Games Hot Dog. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
All right.
I forgot that I don't need to say that it's another episode of Video Games Hot Dog because I go back afterwards and record the intro. Kevin, I think that Luis, the waiter at the Mexican restaurant that we always go to before recording this, is trying to take our relationship to the next level. And to do that, I think he decided
tonight to
ply us with additional liquor or more Mickey's.
But or plywood.
That's true.
You know, Mickey's are never going to run out of copyright.
Yeah. Not as long as Eisner's in charge. Is Michael Eisner even?
No.
Who is it now? Andy Dick?
No. I think I'm pretty sure Eisner's out, though.
Dick Cheney.
Lee Iacocca.
Some other golfer. That's funny. I thought when I was a kid that Lee Iacocca was a golfer. What's the golfer? Lee Trevino?
There's a Lee Trevino.
And Iacocca Palmer.
Yes.
I'm getting the two of those confused. What have you guys been up to?
I posted a bunch of dumb hidden object game reviews on unlockable hat.
Like the reviews are dumb, yeah. Or the games, wow, are dumb?
Both.
That's exactly what I was, yeah,
gonna And I transferred the minimumsafedistance.org domain away from GoDaddy and to Hover.
You're a gladiator. A gladiator for the cause, Riff. That's right.
Did you say unlockablehat.com?
Yes.
Has Jenny played Mage Gauntlet at all?
I don't know.
Because that game
is very
almost entirely
unlockable hat centric.
Yeah, yes. About unlockable hats.
I think in the process of moving minimum safe distance, I think I interrupted the RSS feed. So anybody listening that RSSs that, you will need to go to the site manually and reestablish your RSS feed.
It's not, they might have some sort of RSS fee. Because it was interrupted before it
if they do, then I don't see any of that money.
Yeah, that sucks. Did you have any good New Year's? Did you do anything for New Year's?
Not really. I pretty much spent that entire weekend doing nothing but playing Skyrim.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
Did you talk to Calendar Man? I'm sorry, Calendar Viking in Skyrim? In the Batman, you know, that Superman game, there's a guy that you talk to on various holidays, and he has different things that he says on holidays, and he marks them off on a calendar. I guess he's like a Hannibal Lecter kind of guy.
It's like an achievement kind of thing.
You get an achievement for doing all of them. Yeah. Yeah. I was joking that there was a Viking that did that in Skyrim. Okay. Aren't there weird day and month and stuff names?
Yeah, they have their own. There's Turdus. That's the only one I remember.
That nobody. Chris Hardwick, the Turdus.
No, Novocaine, maybe. I think is one of the months.
There's no
last.
It just doesn't matter. Yeah, last. First of last.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares, man? Game calendars. Who cares? Give me a real calendar. Give me Christmas hats on everything.
Yeah, not something dumb with like 8 days
I know.
In the month.
Games. Days pass too quickly in Skyrim. I would be sad if days passed that quickly in the real world.
Right.
Because I would be like 8,000 years old.
Yeah, you wouldn't be happy to be 8,000 years old. You could go around telling people, I'm 8,000 years old, and
yeah,
other things.
But it wouldn't be special because everybody else would also be 8,000.
No, if it only passed that fast for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Huh. You took that drug from that Heinlein book that took all of the time dilation out of marijuana and distilled it.
Into the spice?
I don't know what it was. It didn't make any sense.
This isn't the Soma thing?
No, it's you're conscious for it.
Okay.
I think it was in The Cat Who Walked Through Walls, maybe?
I've not read that.
Yeah. They take
this. That was the really weird one, wasn't
they
it?
They need a vacation between their two, I don't know, crazy incest spy adventures,
yeah,
or whatever, where one of them is an old man with a prosthetic dong. So they're like, well, we need a vacation, but we only have an hour. Let's take this drug that makes an hour last a year and sit on a couch for a year. But don't move too fast or you'll scare the cat. And then that happens. But to you, it takes the cat a really long time to get scared. Didn't make any sense. Because it was talked about like amplifying the force that you put on things too, which that really doesn't make any sense. It alters your perception to the point where it actually alters physics.
Yeah, that seems baloney.
It's like some Max Payne to the max. You guys probably never played Max Payne.
Nope.
That was the first time there was ever bullet time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Including in The Matrix?
Including in the real world.
The Matrix The Matrix was not the first like filmed thing to use that. There was a Gap commercial that used Bullet Time.
Oh, yeah. Not necessarily Bullet Time, but the freezing and the camera spinning around in circles. Wing Commander did it. We were talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
And also had Jake Busey.
Yeah, Wing Commander.
Imagine how different The Matrix would be if it was Jake Busey instead of Keanu Reeves.
Also, if it was in space, like Wing Commander.
Okay. I mean, The Matrix was in space, right?
It was in a virtual space.
No, Earth is in space.
Okay, well,
really anything. World War II took place in space, technically.
I just got a movie from Netflix it's called Another Earth, and the premise of it is that one day in orbit around Earth is another Earth. That's the whole premise, as far as I know.
Huh. Is it a copy of the Earth?
You can see it.
Is there a U on it? Wait, so anything that you can see is a copy of
another
thing?
I think they don't know. I think they assume that there's a copy of everybody on that Earth.
It seems like the first thing that you would do if you saw another Earth
was like radio.
Was go to it. You'd go there.
So I think the plot of the movie is like they send a spaceship full of regular people.
Bombs.
And it is somebody who's like trying to get on that spaceship or something.
Okay.
I've not seen it, so I don't know.
And they get close to it and then realize that it's actually hell. And then there's pins in everybody's face. And Samuel L. Jackson talks about how beautiful fire is.
Yeah.
That's totally not Samuel L. Jackson. I think it's Lawrence Fishburne. But, I'm sorry. It's Wesley Snipes.
Oh, God. How was your New Year's?
It was okay. I drank some wassail.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah. It's spiced apricot nectar and something else. This is a recipe that this guy makes. I didn't drink very much because I was the designated driver, so it was extremely boring. It's how normal people must feel when they talk to me, since I'm always shitty drunk.
You're extremely boring?
No, since I'm shitty drunk all the time,
and
I think that the things that I'm saying are really interesting, like interesting enough to put out on the internet and stuff. But people who are sober and smart just listen to me and think, what a bore.
Oh, that's Zach. He's
what
so
a
interesting.
Chore.
And he's constantly putting out on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Portland for New Year's. My girlfriend has a bunch of friends that have like a rotating New Year's party in different cities each year. Last year was Victoria, Canada.
Rotating restaurant?
Yeah, they have to have it in different rotating restaurants.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
They could do it at Phoenix Comic Con next year.
And so we went up there, and New Year's itself was pretty fun. New Year's Day, we went out for a drive and went to like this sort of scenic vista over the Columbia River Gorge, which was really pretty.
I've heard that Scenic 7 is way more stable.
Yeah, yeah. You might be right, because there was so much wind that it was kind of out of control. There were a bunch of like weather teams there measuring the wind when we got there, and they told us that the winds were like between 85 and 110 miles an hour.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, it was to the point where...
It seems like a big range. Were these like real shitty weather guys?
No, I mean, like they were gusts of wind. It wasn't like a continuous wind. Like it was billowing in and knocking you over for a second, and then you'd get like a little respite, and then another gust would come in.
So like comedy wind.
Yeah, comedy wind. To the point where it knocked my girlfriend down, and in addition to like some bruises and scrapes and stuff like that, her glasses fell off of her face, and then the wind picked them up and carried them over the cliff.
Whoa.
Are you sure this wasn't a case of, if anybody asks, the wind did this to you?
Yeah. I worry about that a little bit,
actually. I was hoping
you
were going to say that the wind picked up and blew her glasses back onto her face.
No.
That would be great.
That would have been much preferable. Instead, I had to call a doctor friend to see if she had gotten a concussion, and then the next day we had to go hang out at the eye doctor for like half a day. So,
How do you know whether or not you've got a concussion? That sounded like a joke, but it's not.
If you go to sleep, you die.
Okay.
If you are in danger of like internal bleeding, the symptoms of that kind of thing are like getting really sleepy to the point where you can't control it, vomiting.
Okay, so those are these are both symptoms of nighttime. So I can see why it would be difficult.
Vomiting.
Well, I mean,
you know, after drinking, I guess. And then she had me do some neurological tests to make sure that there was no neurological damage.
Like where you extract some spinal fluid?
No, I did not do that.
And check for midichlorians.
The primary thing to look for is asymmetry. And so you shine a light in somebody's eyes and you see if their pupils react to the light. And if so, if they do it symmetrically or asymmetrically. And you have somebody close their eyes and hold out their hands. And then
everybody stands around them and says, light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
As if they're holding up a tray. And if one of their hands drifts down, that's apparently a sign of neurological damage.
What if there's something really heavy on one side of the tray? I only hold trays where I'm serving someone a bowling ball and a jawbreaker.
And then the last thing is you have them get up on their tippy toes and walk around and see if there's any weakness in their legs. Those were the three things that I checked for.
And none of those things
happened.
She didn't have any concussions.
She didn't danger, no. Yeah, so that's that was my New Year's.
The girl at the coffee shop, apparently there's been this rash of accidents inside the coffee shop.
Oh, yeah?
So the coffee shop is like
Maybe they're just all allergic to
it. It's like a freestanding little hut that was built and opened, and there are bees just everywhere at this thing. I think they come in and they're attracted to the Tarani syrups, and it's the middle of the fucking winter and all of the bees are supposed to be dead, and I don't understand why there are still a million bees.
It's pretty warm.
Yeah, but I don't think that we have the kind of climate here where the bees just don't die. I mean, I think bees, it's not like in the, you know, if you were at the equator, bees just live forever, right? I mean, I feel like they're designed to last a season. By God. Anyway, somebody got stung, finally, and then somebody, fell down and screwed up their wrist, and then this girl had, fallen, and some stuff splashed up and, gave her this horrible burn on her eyelid.
Oh!
Yeah, it's hideous. Wow. It's awful.
That sucks.
And they're so high all the time. Everybody that works there is always so high that must have been, a really intense pain. But then it was, also kind of amazing.
Hmm.
Have you ever really scalded your eyelid?
I wonder if the fact that they're high all the time has something to do with the preponderance of accidents.
I think they've been high the whole time and only recently started having accidents. So I think it is a bad luck storm that has blown in from Canada.
Those darn Canadians. They're testing their bad luck rays on us.
Or maybe the luck dragon that until recently had been a regular visitor to this particular Dutch Brothers stand got pissed off when they raised their prices.
Oh.
They said they've had a lot of people storming off, just rage quitting Dutch Brothers because they raised the price of all of their regular coffees by 25 cents.
Wow.
Yeah. Went from $2.75 to $3 for
which is so much more convenient.
Coffee.
Why are things not all just...
why doesn't everything cost $100 is basically what you wonder when you think about all the effort that went into it. Think about all the mules that hauled all the dudes around in Costa Colombia and coastal Rico.
Somebody has to weave all those burlap sacks.
That's true. Man, and then it probably came here on a boat from China for some reason.
Slow one, I bet.
Yeah. And they had people keeping the coffee fresh by breathing on it, going, the whole time so it didn't dry out. You got to pay those guys. I mean, it's minimum wage, but still, you got to pay them. It adds up.
Well, you got to monitor their diet because you don't want them breathing
hot food. This coffee tastes like whiskey.
Whiskey,
Somebody fire Patty. I don't know why Patty is it.
You went for the Irish
thing. I did. I went for the, apparently, and that Patty is the name of a person ever.
Oh, Patty.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's 2012.
It is. Or, as I like to call it, the old Deuce-odd AC Deuce. What do you think is going to happen in 2012, guys? What are your predictions for the year in video games?
There's going to be a rash of Mayan apocalypse video games.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be a fun video games, the movie 2012.
You think?
You have to escape the meteors, then you have to fly through the...
The game starts out with you just eating more cereal than you normally do.
Right.
And then after the hot tub time machine mini game.
Yep.
I bet a game that was nothing but everything that John Cusack has ever done would be... Because there'd be the Assassin's Creed Gross Point Blank level. There would be the Record Store Tycoon level.
Sim Baby, where you had to raise Arizona.
You're thinking of Nicolas Cage.
Didn't you just say Nicolas Cage?
No, I said John Cusack.
Oh.
I might have said Nicolas Cage, but I meant John
Cusack. I'm pretty sure you said John Cusack.
And I was talking about John
Cusack.
I was thinking
Nicolas Cage. Wow. So although, yeah, I was thinking about
all of Nicolas Cage's roles would be next much
more
fun.
There's the MMO where you level up by getting larger boom boxes to hold over your head. and, you know, sappier tunes. And then the one where you're the puppeteer that can possess other people, but then you're in weird mental versions of their... It's like a cross between Psychonauts and Metallica's Master of Puppets video game.
But then all the planes start falling out of the sky and you have to rush around.
You have to run back to the console to tell the planes where to land.
Yeah.
But then Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie are constantly trying to fuck with you and stop you from doing it.
And then you have to capture Nicolas Cage's character from the Nicolas Cage video game.
Oh, right. There's that one crossover chapter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the DLC. You have to own both of them and then it unlocks that level between the two of them where you're in the airplane that's crashing into the Vegas Strip.
Do you play it co-op or head to head?
Well, I think it puts in a ghost Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
A ghost rider, as it were, of Nicolas Cage that you have to fight with. There's the one part where you're in high school and you keep trying to commit suicide.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there's you can draw pictures of monsters to fight your enemies for you.
So there's at least one more Cusack sibling, I think.
Besides
John. And I think there's another one.
Jerry.
Another girl.
Jane.
Because I seem to remember her being in a movie.
There's Lemmy Cusack, who is the lead singer of Motorhead.
Right. and British for some reason. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're all British. John Cusack is just a really good actor.
Huh.
And Joan Cusack had some brain damage that cost her accent, and that was all.
Well, but just on one side.
Yeah, that's why you only ever see her film from the left.
Right.
Because if you film her from the right, she sounds British. Okay, that's enough of that. Guys, what have you been playing?
That guy Vex that does the Minecraft super hostile map adventure series.
It's like a thing where they give you a shitty world and then you have to find all the wolves.
Yeah, they're pretty interesting worlds actually.
But the wolves.
There's a victory monument where you have to place all the different colors of wool blocks. He has come out with a new one that is of an easier difficulty than many of them are. And I've started it. I may have to restart it because it starts you out with a very limited amount of wood, and I think I have squandered it all. But it's an interesting thing. This one is less, and the previous one I played was something Sunstroke Islands, Sunburn Islands.
Yeah, I tried that and it was way too not interesting.
That one was very open worldy, like a Zelda game. This one is, he calls it linear branching, and it works more like a Metroidvania.
I mean, do you have to like dig mine shafts to find stuff, or do you
not
just
typically?
Wander?
Okay. Typically, if you have to dig to find something, he will have put an indication there. But generally, you'll find a cave.
Okay.
Or a building, and it'll be fairly obvious where you have to go. He doesn't do anything really shitty like that would be.
Like there's not just chests that are under random spots that you have no way of knowing how to get there.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Does he indicate where to go with paths and stuff? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
Sunburn Island, it just seemed like there was too many options, and so I just decided to do none of them.
Should try this one instead then. I've forgotten offhand what it is called, but if you do a Google search for Vex, V-E-C-H-S, super hostile, then it'll take you to his Minecraft forum thread about him.
Okay. I've been trying to play, I haven't been trying, I've been afraid to play our buddy Nightmare's Chain World that he sent us because it's just too horrifying.
What did he do?
It's all like islands in the sky.
Yeah, he used, for a while, there was the alternate dimension world gen code that you could trigger if you wanted to and make, it seemed like a weird thing where the world was made out of two different worlds, one upside down relative to the other one, cut off at a certain point with like maybe slightly different seeds so that they were similar, but they didn't quite match up. And so there were just all of these like, you know, floating mountains that the bottom was also a floating mountain. And a lot of like, in this one, there's just a lot of weird, like there's a mountain with a totally sliced off bottom. And then underneath it, there's another upside down mountain with a sliced off top. And so there are just these giant patches of utter darkness that are completely filled with creepers.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're just constantly walking close to these edges of nowhere. So like if the way that you are going to die in this is falling off the fucking edge.
Yeah. Huh. And since it's a chain world, you only get one death and then you have to pass it on.
Because Jason Rohrer is a genius. I mean, Jason Rohrer may well be a genius, but
I mean, his chain world has never gone anywhere because he just sits in his backyard growing his grass.
His prairie, his pasture. Yeah.
By having his baby pee on it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So and poop. Don't forget the poop. That's right. A critical element.
Right.
So what else?
You gave up on Skyrim then?
I'm slowing down on Skyrim.
Have I you still finally Skyrimmed out.
Yeah, I've getting a little bit burned out. I still have the Mage's Guild and the Bard's College to do though, so I'm sure I'll go
Is
back to
the Bard's
to
College
it.
A real quest line?
I don't know.
So I don't want to be spoilerific for people who haven't played, but like so the companion sort of secret stuff.
Yeah.
Does that lock you out of other stuff? Is there a complimentary one that's...
I don't think so.
You can fix that.
There is nothing... I stopped that quest line when it came time
to make that choice
and then I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to do it, and it didn't change anything.
Yeah.
Really.
It doesn't really change anything, and if you decide you don't want to keep that perk, as it were, there is a way to get rid of it that you will find out about later in the quest chain.
Huh. I did not know that. But yeah, you know. I haven't played Skyrim in a while. You've been playing it a lot, though, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, because my girlfriend is off out of town interviewing, so I get a chance to actually play a video game now. So, because I'm all alone by my lonesome.
A video game that's not on your phone, you mean?
Right.
Because you will play games on your phone, like, while you're having sex. It's really annoying. I mean, I assume it's really annoying.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't know. You know, we both have our phones out.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably
that's all right. That's all right then.
Yeah.
You should get one of those double-sided phones. You know, it's like an iPhone, but it's two iPhones that... You know, that guy might have just tried to sell me two iPhones that were glued together.
You know what you should get... I invented this over the break. They have that FaceTime thing for the video conferencing calls. You need a teddy bear, except where the teddy bear's face would be is an iPhone dock.
Okay.
So that your girlfriend's face can be the face of this teddy bear.
But it would be like your girlfriend's entire head.
It depends on where she holds the camera.
If the teddy bear was wearing a cloak and was like hooded and it actually looked like it was a real face, and then that I could see that.
That'd be cute.
But then it would just look like a crazy robot bear that was impersonating your girlfriend. And then it would be like, give me all of your money.
Does the bear sit kind of hot?
Close to my whirling blade. Body.
Does the bear sit in the corner of the room and like occasionally at night the eyes pop open and like it stares at you?
And the rocking chair that it's on starts wobbling back and forth of its own accord. It was probably a mouse.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I've got it. Get a porcelain clown doll.
Oh.
And a projector to project your girlfriend's face onto the porcelain clown doll.
God.
With a weird voice modulator to make her voice sound all clowny and squeaky.
Yeah.
I don't feel good.
So I've been enjoying Skyrim. It is fun.
You were a little overwhelmed at first, but then I think you learned that you didn't need to keep all of the
brooms.
Every single turnip. I don't think they're even turnips. Horker loaf.
Leek.
I feel like I am probably worse than Riff.
Did you take a leak from somebody?
I did not take a leak. I am probably worse than Riff in that I am probably getting twice as many of the things out in the world and collecting them and then selling them.
Huh. So do you have like a path of vendors that you go to in every town to sell everything?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you sell your weapons first, and then you sell your, like, you just do it from the most specialized to the most general.
You go to Whiterun, and then you go to the blacksmith, and then the general store, and then the alchemist shop.
Actually, you also go
to the inn. Blacksmith, inn, alchemist, then general.
You missed it, too. I forgot about this guy for a long time. There's another weapon merchant right across the street from the blacksmith.
Yeah, no, that's the inn.
That's not an inn, though.
I think it's an inn. He's not really a weapon merchant, is
he? Well, he's the archery guy. He's the archery guy.
There's also a third weaponsmith, the companion one. And he has a big budget, so
he has a decent
weapons budget. And armor are easy to sell. It's all the other stuff that's tough.
Well, no, everything is easy to sell once you get that perk that lets you sell anything to any merchant.
I'm not willing to spend five levels worth of perks.
No, but you get bonuses. You get the sell it. You get higher prices from ladies. You're probably playing a lady.
I am playing a lady. So I'll get higher prices from that jackass that runs the general store in Whiterun.
I don't like Lydia's tone of voice.
And there's that bitch at the apothecary shop that always says you look sick, which makes you think that you have a fucking disease because that's just the only way that you know you have a disease. Out,
she's just a broken record.
Man, the house Carl in my new house in Windhelm. All these fucking
in
towns.
Wind Waker.
The house Carl in the house at Windhelm, which is the awesomest house in the game, I think. Half the time when I go in the house, he doesn't realize that it's me and that I own this house. He'll be like, "Is there something I can help you with?"
Or maybe he just doesn't know he's in your house.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the AI thinks that you've wandered into somebody
else. I think maybe you should leave.
Knocking off.
I own this house, you jack off.
I don't like that they will, the people and stuff like that will comment on your like ready to weapons and magic.
Lack of clothing?
No, ready to weapons and magic, even if you have them sheathed.
Oh.
Right, because that's...
Will made the fire? I've not seen that. A guard might get nervous. Man walks around with his weapon drawn.
So, no, but then he'll say, destruction's all right, just don't burn anything on the village on, even though my weapons are sheathed. Or restoration, I'm fond of restoration. I feel like Skyrim needs more healers.
That might just be coincidence, because they comment on any skill you have above a certain...
Yeah, because they will often say, so, you think you're a pretty good alchemist, huh?
Yeah.
I'm a terrible one.
Why don't you brew me a mead? So, you're a conjurer. Can you conjure me up a warm bed?
No, but I also have a couple points in destruction. If you show me where your bed is, I could just set it on fire for you, you prick.
Then I took an arrow in the knee.
I've been really appreciative of all the little hidden shit that they have put in nooks and crannies, where if you're being really diligent about looking in every nook and cranny, you're going to find a bunch of extra stuff.
Yeah.
There are fucking rings on the ground sometimes, mm-hmm. which that only indicate, like, you know, I probably have not found most of them or whatever, but they are like these tiny little things that you can occasionally find if you're paying attention.
If you're just staring at the ground.
It is so hard for me to find fucking ore veins still.
It's a little difficult to tell the difference between those and scenery objects. And I also often there will be four or five ore veins that I will think are one ore vein because they're really variable in size.
Did you get the Easter egg pickaxe?
No, I don't think so.
If you go to Throat of the World and climb up to the very, very tip of it, There's some good ore veins and an Easter egg, the notched pickaxe.
Oh, right. I read about that. Yeah. I did not get it.
Huh.
Does it do anything special?
Not really. If you have it equipped, it gives you like 5% more blacksmithing skill, but it doesn't take you over the 100 points.
I really don't like that you have to wait for the stupid animation to play when you're mining a thing. Everything else.
I don't
else
mind that, it so much. I find the action and the sound satisfying.
There are a bunch of other things that you have an animation for and that take time, like whenever you start blacksmithing,
start using a tanning rack or whatever. Yeah, but you don't do that nearly as often as you mine.
Sure.
I got that transmute spell right off the bat, but never used it.
Oh, I've been using it.
I didn't find it until just recently, and it was walking whenever I go in my house, pop, I activate pop, it. Pop, it's pop, like pop, yeah, pop. Popping as I'm walking around the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skyrim.
I don't even need money anymore.
This is a whole new perspective because you have never played any Bethesda
modern
game before.
Yeah,
you've never played any video games.
Well, this is the first time I've had
it
a computer
was
that could
and then this.
Run like a current generation game.
I spent the entirety of yesterday with the Dig Dug music stuck in my head.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah, and everything that I said to anybody, I said, this was mostly at night, I said, I sang along to the Dig Dug music in my head.
And then you blew them up with a bicycle pump?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I did get a new air compressor. I am an idiot, and I sent back to Amazon an air compressor that I thought was broken, and it turns out I was just doing it wrong. So I got a new air compressor for no reason.
Because you thought it was going to actually decompress all the air?
Yeah. It was like, what? I just plugged this into my tire, and suddenly my tires went up inside my car. It's like, come on, car. I know it's cold, but like,
whoa,
they went negative. But then my car could fly, so I shouldn't have fixed it because that was awesome. I inflated so many. I inflated 10 tires before. I inflated more tires before breakfast than most people do all day.
Were 5 of them impossible?
What else you been playing? Anything?
A little bit of Layton on the DS.
How's that?
The puzzles are, in general, so far, I'm about like maybe a third, half the way through the game, somewhere in there. And the puzzles are just slightly better than the previous two. In general, but there are some that are.
Is this the fourth
stupid.
One?
This is the fourth one okay. that I'm aware of that in the U.S. Maybe there might be.
I stopped like a third of the way through the second one.
Okay. Yeah.
There's too much running around out in the world.
It is a ton. Like, I feel like if I were not as compulsive as I was, I could just wander around, do the plot points. The cat would collect all the puzzles yeah. that I'd missed, and
it's
I could
a
just
cat
do those.
Instead of mother, whatever her name is.
Yeah, she's on vacation in this one.
She's been on vacation for like two or three episodes. I don't get it.
I think maybe that's just their way of
Granny
Riddlington. She died.
Yeah, she shows up.
She went Granny. To live. She went to live on a nice farm.
She's on the roof.
I'm just tired of having to like. I'm just tired of clicking on every freaking feature of the picture.
You don't just do that compulsively.
I do,
for fun.
No, not for fun. I do it because I realize that there are like collectibles in there, and I want to have 100% completion.
Yeah, I'm constantly clicking like on my desktop wallpaper in the hopes that something cool will pop out. Every once in a while, I click on the part of it where there's an icon for a video game, and then I get to play a video game. It's a
That's
secret Easter egg.
Pretty cool.
I know. So I played Star Wars.
The Old Republic?
Yeah, just more Star Wars is all I played. That is probably not true. I also played some Spell Tower on the
What's
phone.
That?
It's pretty cool. It's just a word game. It's like sort of
Spell Tower.
Tetris.
That's a good name.
Boggle.
T-O-W-E-R.
Yeah.
That's not really a very good name.
I like it.
It's just spell with another word after spell castle.
But Spell Tower is
Spell Mattress.
Is nice. It's like a magical spell like a magic tower.
I'm just looking at things in the room now. Spell light fixture. Spell sheets.
How do
spell
I
spell swords?
How do I
and then it would also be
spells
words.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Also
too.
Math wizards.
Yes.
So it's like the mode that I've been playing is the like puzzle mode of it, which is that you sort of boggle a word. So it's a big stack of letters, and you boggle a word, and there are letters that if you use them, it deletes a whole row on the side of the row that letter is on. And if you make a letter adjacent to these like black unusable squares, it deletes the black unusable
Why
squares.
Why do they have to be black?
And if you make a big enough word, it will start to destroy tiles in a radius around the word that you're making.
Okay.
And then every time you play a word, it adds another row of letters to the bottom. And if any of the rows get to the top, you lose.
So it's sort of like Tetris.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's like Boggle Tetris.
Boggle.
I like it though. Like you know, it's a game that I played, and the first time I played it, I scored like 500 points, and then the second time I scored like 2,500 points, and then the third time I scored like 6,000 points. And
did
I feel
you
like
ever
I'm getting better.
Play Welltress?
I never did.
It was pretty fun.
It was the like 3D Tetris where you were throwing blocks down into.
Down a well.
Yeah, it was a little confusing because it was a little hard to tell how deep a thing was going when
yeah.
it went.
Depends on where you're trying to get it to. But
I feel like there was some sort of indicator. There was like a side view,
right.
sort of,
kind
of that you could
there was,
see.
There was an arcade game that was like that, except it wasn't Welltress. There was a robot face. I don't remember what it was called.
Was it called iRobot?
No. This is just like that. You've got Tetris blocks dropping into a pit.
And there was into a robot face. Were you throwing it into the robot's face, or
well,
there was
the
a robot,
robot
face just making fun of you for being bad at the game?
I think that. Yeah. I don't remember.
Did William Sessions tell you not to use drugs?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably.
Well, so that we know it was from the 90s.
That's just how I associate video stand-up arcade games, though.
In fact, here's what will happen. If you do use drugs, these guys from NARC will come
yeah.
after you and just murder you. And blow up your tanks of weird chemicals.
I never finished that game. Now I want to pull MAME back out and see if I have a ROM for NARC.
It seemed like a really cool game, but I think it was probably not that cool of a game. I'm guessing that every level was like the first level.
Probably.
There's
so.
The occasional one where you get to drive that sweet car.
Yeah.
I always wanted one of those helmets. Somebody should get me a NARC helmet for Christmas. And a machine gun that just shoots a single line of pixels that only kills junkies.
They could just shoot that into buildings and solve all kinds of problems.
What else? Oh, yeah, so just the Old Republic. Just played a lot of the Old Republic. Killed a lot of dudes with a lot of lightsabers. Shot a lot of dudes with
More
a lot of blasters.
More than one lightsaber?
No, just the one. Okay. My Sith Warrior that I'm playing, I'm going tank. And so you
only
get a single.
You have a Sith Worgen?
Yes, a Sith Worgen. You get one lightsaber, and then when you transform, it just turns into like a sort of bluish claw.
Ooh.
That'd be awesome, actually.
I did some PvP, which is still fun because people aren't good at it yet.
Mm-hmm. This is the sweet spot, man. Like, enjoy it while you can, because eventually the griefers will figure out how to.
But it's not even the griefers; it's just like the people who are really good at PvP.
Yeah, but then the griefers are a subset of decent at PvP people who just enjoy watching other people cry.
I don't know what it is when I'm playing my higher level, my smuggler character. It seems like I am always stunned by something. Like, he's just got this childlike sense of wonder.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Wow! The PvP war fronts are sort of interesting. They're three different game types, and there's only one sort of scenario for each of them. But one of them is, like, you've got a... it doesn't really matter, right? The narrative wallpaper is that there is a Republic ship floating and an Empire ship floating on opposite sides of, like, this valley. And there are three gun emplacements in the middle of it, and when you take control of the gun, it starts shooting at the other ship and earning you points, basically. Mm-hmm. And there are three guns, and at any time, you know, either side can have control of them, and it's just like maintaining control of these 3 points for a certain amount of time.
So it's like a cumulative capture the flag type.
Yep. And then there is there is a hut ball, which is kind of annoying. Which is like this weird arena with a lot of flame jets shooting out of the ground that will just kill you if anyone stuns you while you're on them. So even when they're turned off, like if you run across one of these things, you wait for the flames to stop, you run onto it, and then somebody stuns you, and then the flames come back on, and then you're dead.
Huh.
And there's a ball in the middle that you get, and then you have the ball, and you can pass it to other people. Apparently, it just puts a skill somewhere in your hotbar. In an empty space, unless you don't have an empty space in your hotbar, then you just don't know that that's a thing that you can do, and you're just trying to get it to the enemy end zone and score a point.
Huh.
And then there is one that is like, you have a certain amount of time to, you start out in a room and there are these two doors, and you have to get up to the door and do a 20-second channeled thing that plants a bomb on the door. And then the bomb takes 20 seconds to go off, at which point the enemy can do like a 10 or an 8-second channel to disarm it. But it's just a matter of like getting up to one of the doors, getting 20 seconds. It might not be 20, it might be 10. That you're uninterrupted by anything. And then once the door blows, you move on to the next room and you do that 3 times and then you get a point. And then it switches you to defender, and if you're able to successfully defend, then the game is over and you win. If they make it through again, then I guess there's a tiebreaker.
Huh. Where you're both trying to break into each other's places?
I don't know. I don't know how you would do that. You know, I mean,
just divide your team up, have like one objective. Like,
No. I don't know how you. I don't know how the scoring on that would work, right? Because, I mean, I guess it's sort of like tennis, right? Where only the active opposed, you know, the active like attacking team can score, like a tennis. The attacker.
It depends on how it's how it's laid out, but yeah.
Right, and they do say "One Love." Actually, they're just playing "One Love" by U2. It's weird. I didn't know John Williams wrote that, but apparently he did. Yeah, so I did some PvP. I did some blowing up some stuff, non PvP. I haven't done a lot of space combat. It's rudimentary.
It's like a mini game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you get experience.
Yeah, that's interesting choice.
Yep. And there's like daily quests that you can do to do some of the scenarios that you get a significant amount of experience and a lot of credits too. Probably not as many credits as you would get by slicing pre-nerf. And probably not as many as you get just by actually questing out in the world. But I don't know. It's fun. I went and blew up some alien bug things.
Cool.
Found a Datacron that was like in a secret passage that you had to go through. There was another one in a space chest. You go out and there's a thing out in the world that just is labeled space chest.
Jeez.
And then you have to find the guy that sells the code cylinder to open the space chest. Ah, it's pretty great. They couldn't just call it a chest, you know. Is that all?
Yep.
What's new, Kevin?
Well, it seems like the thing you're most excited about is that Fallout New Vegas mod thing.
Yeah, one of the developers of Fallout New Vegas released a mod And they said, hey, why wasn't this a patch? And he said, because nobody's working on Fallout New Vegas. It's sad.
That is sad.
He said it in that cartoon.
Is it a patch that you're supposed to use to help get you to break your addiction to Fallout New Vegas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by making it extremely difficult. It seems like what it does is it takes hardcore mode, which was really like sort of sissy-ass pussy mode, as it turned out, relative to what we wanted it to be, and turns it into a serious hardcore mode. I think in a lot of ways it is a testament to how hand-holdy the game was that it is even playable given this list of changes. It cuts the rate of XP gain in half, which is fairly minor, I think in the grand scheme of things. But base player health is quartered, and the health that you gain when you earn a level is reduced by 25%. Base carry weight is cut by two-thirds, which that makes it a lot less flexible. Like, you really have to start thinking about what you're going to carry with you, because trips back to town result in, because the hunger and thirst and sleep needing rates are doubled. But the first threshold is up more than it was before. So you can go, once you're well rested or well hydrated, you last the same amount of time before the first level kicks in.
Okay.
But then the later levels kick in faster. It gets more urgent. That's something that this also changes that always pissed me off. Soda now actually hydrates you, and soda's booze, but to a lesser extent. I don't want to have been in the meetings where they were discussing, like, because it's going to be one guy saying, oh yeah, well, drinking booze should actually dehydrate you, and drinking stuff with caffeine in it should dehydrate you. And then another person saying, no, it shouldn't. Are you retarded? And that guy saying, Yes, I am retarded. And so this
all
is
I have ever consumed is soda. Yeah,
this is the way that it's going to be. Because we certainly don't know, at this development studio, we certainly don't know anyone who only ever drinks soda, because that person would be dead of dehydration. If somebody all they ever drank was Mountain Dew, they would not be able to survive. That is worse than drinking nothing.
Well, no, you get water from the air like the plants do.
Oh, like those Indian those fake ears who, I don't know if they're fake ears. Those guys.
Their ears are real.
The oxygenarians.
Yeah, the swamis who only eat a single teaspoon of rentals, of lentils.
Rentals? Yeah. They have to give them back.
Yeah, they have to rent an entire, I mean, really, you don't buy any food, you rent it. And then you have to go deposit it at the bread bank. What else happens? Stim packs become expired stim packs, and they're shitty.
Wow.
The stim packs that you can make are way better than those, but not as good as a real stim pack if you can find it. Stim packs have weight, which is another thing. Bunch of stuff that just makes hardcore mode. Like, it makes Fallout New Vegas. I really wish that this mod existed for Fallout 3. Like, there might be a mod like this for Fallout 3, but I think that Fallout 3 would be a much more interesting game to play with these sort of restrictions than New Vegas was. But yeah, that was that bit of news. They are trying to get the Binding of Isaac on the 3DS.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I don't think that's going to work.
I think it's unlikely, but it might happen. I mean,
somebody pointed out that
Nintendo are trying to reach out to the more hardcore sort of...
I mean, Mad World is on there. Like, No More Heroes was on the Wii. So, I mean, if you can, like, save by pooping and charge up your weapon by jacking off, like, then maybe you can, you know, use a rosary to break piles of poop and then eventually destroy your mother's vagina.
Maybe they won't play through it all the way.
Yeah, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll only play the first couple of levels. They'll be, oh, this seems fine. And then the rest of it is just fuck Nintendo. Every level map spells out one letter of fuck Nintendo. Turns out one of the levels is shaped like a swastika. What else we got? What's this Buffy Firefly thing?
So there was a company, I think, called Multiverse that was making, back in 2006, said that they were going to make a Firefly MMO. And then 2 years later, they shelved that brief. They sort of shelved that instead to do Buffy. But then at the very end of December, they just shut down.
They shelved that and decided to do a Lord of the Rings MMO.
Yeah. So that is out of the running. There is a Firefly World MMO that's still in development by Ten Ton Hammer. But yeah. Not a love for the Whedonverse.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, so many more MMOs get started than get finished.
Oh, sure.
I was reading about, there was an interview with the BioWare guys where when they decided to make an MMO, but before they decided that it was going to be a Star Wars MMO, they like sort of tossed around ideas for a lot of different licenses, including a Lord of the Rings one before LOTRO, and Dark Tower MMO. Which I think, if done right, could be really interesting, but I think it would be nearly impossible to do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, it would make a lot more sense for there to be, like, instanced things in a Dark Tower MMO. True. Just based on the way that world works. I always thought that it would have been nice to work instancing into the fiction of a game so that it, you know, it's like...
Yeah. I mean, you know, iron bars that fall down while you're doing something would be a way to like lock other people out.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, sure. In a sci-fi game, I mean, it could just be like the only way that you get to this, you know, content that we need to instance is through these like teleportation gates that also put you in a slightly different quantum reality than everybody else. And then, you know, when you come back, things might be different. When you come back, you might have gotten a quest reward.
Right.
Yeah. Star Wars The Old Republic, there were some people whose accounts got banned for this exploit involving...
Temporarily?
Yeah, just temporarily, as it turns out. Because there was a lot of foo-farah, there was some kerfuffle, and there was
a brouhaha.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a brouhaha. You know, people on the internet getting upset about things, like they do. So some accounts got banned for gold farming, which I don't really understand what that would consist of at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, automation, right? If they were able to prove that there was automation happening.
I mean, I think they were colluding with opponents to...
Well, in this case, those guys didn't get banned. Oh. The Ilum thing, the Ilum is a planet that is like the level capped PvP planet, which is just like a planet-wide battleground thing. And it has this mechanism by which when one side takes over the central control point, or whenever one side takes over a control point, it like resets the area and fills it with these treasure chests that you can then loot as a reward for having taken over the area. And so what people were doing is they were getting guys in on both sides of the conflict, swapping it, looting the treasure, swapping it, looting the treasure, swapping it, looting the treasure. And they just like temporarily banned the people that were doing a lot of that. It's a frustrating thing, right? Because there are going to be these people on the internet that say, well, you know what? The game lets us do it. Obviously, it's what you intended, so you can't get mad at us for doing it, which is pretty obviously unreasonable as a stance from where I'm standing. Yeah. But a lot of people would probably agree with that. Yeah. And so it's one of those things where it's like, well, we don't want people to have a shitty experience where they come into this PvP area, they claim some territory, and then there's just nothing in the territory. So we want to reward people for taking this over. So let's just respawn the treasure chest so that there'll be something for them to get. But then
I'm surprised that it wasn't on an hour timer or something, you know?
Something. Yeah. Oh, you know, maybe it was on an hour timer. Like, whatever timer it's on, it needs to be reasonable enough that in really active play, you'd be able to do it. But, like, the more reasonable it is for that, the better you try to make the experience for the people who are playing sort of fair and actually... It's this problem, right? The goal of a game should be to kill the bad guys in the game, not to get the money as fast as possible, right? And it's the designer's job to make it so the best way to play the game is the way that you intend for them to play the game, right? But that is a hard-earned lesson in a lot of ways if you care about the art of it.
Right.
Right? Because what it means is that there are certain things that are awesome that you just can't do. And you can't do it because people are assholes.
Yeah.
The long and short of it is that because 5% of people would ruin the experience for everybody else, you can't do things that would make the game better for 95% of the people that are playing without constantly having to police this bullshit and getting yelled at for it. And, you know, it kind of sucks. And I can definitely feel for them in this case. I don't know what they're going to do about it, right? I mean, they probably just have to make it so that things don't respawn, or they are on some long timer, so that sometimes, like, I mean, that's the thing. They make it so you can only get this once a day or whatever.
Yeah.
Then suddenly it just, they've just taken this reward away from the people who are playing it the way that it's supposed to be played, which is that the way that you're supposed to play a PvP scenario is you're supposed to try to win. You're not supposed to lose on purpose.
Maybe they could do it so that any given character can only collect one chest per day or something like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I wonder under normal expected play if... I mean, how frequently a particular character would be expected to be part of winning this zone again. I don't feel like it would flip back and forth that frequently.
Yeah, I mean, I could see in a given play session of 3 or 4 hours, ideally you would want maybe 3 transitions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, I guess it would depend on how many people are there.
How people are enjoying their characters, too.
Also, how seriously, like, how granular the swaps are, right? Like, yeah. it's more interesting, I think, if you have, like, you know, a yardstick that goes from 1 to 10. A standoff at 5 is way less interesting than oscillation between 3 and 7.
Right.
Right? So, you know, it's a frustrating thing to try to balance around. And in a game with any kind of progression, it's even harder to do, right? Like, it's one thing to have, like, a Team Fortress 2, which at least in the beginning was a very simple, very limited rule set game where there weren't a lot of variables to take into account.
Yeah.
But then once they decided, well, you know, Team Fortress 2 would be more fun for a lot of people if you could, like, level up and stuff, which, not that you level up, but you get different...
Get all the
different gear and stuff, right? Yeah. And then it suddenly gets to the point where it's like, okay, well, this is really no longer balanced anymore. I mean, there are still people playing it. People haven't lost interest, so that's good, I guess, in terms of, like, overall joy created in the world, but I don't know. It's a mess. And there's also apparently this thing where if you're breakdancing, you can't get killed, which I think is true in the real world, too.
Yeah, I've never seen a dead breakdancer.
Yeah, there's one guy that has just been spinning on a piece of cardboard in Times Square for like 300 years.
They built New York around him.
Yeah, they had to like put a flatbed tow truck underneath him so they could get him out of the way to dig the subway. And they put him right back. What's that fourth item that's written in pencil that I can't read from here?
It was just the results of like the fallout from the GoDaddy thing.
Oh, right. That GoDaddy
almost weren't any.
Got slightly less of a massive increase in domain registrations the day that everybody was, or the week or whatever that everybody was pulling their domains.
They said like 70,000 people.
70,000 left, but that meant that they only got 20,000 new ones instead of 90,000 new ones that week, which I'm sure is, you know, I'm sure that guy is just saying, like, fuck you, nerds, right?
Because that's maybe the kind of guy that he is. Seems like he might be one of those angry nerds.
You think?
I don't know.
He'll start shooting people with an elephant gun. He's going to go find the customers that moved the most domains and feed them to African villagers. Any more news?
That's it.
There was... For our European listeners, there is a Nintendo 3DS giveaway where if you register 2 Nintendo 3DS games from a short list, you get the 3D-ified re-release of what's the old Nintendo game with the little angel Greek dude?
Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus. The 3D-ified version of Kid Icarus is coming out on tomorrow as we are recording this. So
today, as
you're listening to it, is coming out on the eShop
for
free.
Or 6 months ago, if you're listening to this in July.
In archivals.
Yeah. So if you register 2 games before the end of the month, you can get that for free. And it has not been yet announced how to get it if you don't do that or if you are in North America.
Did I see that they finally started selling the Ambassador games to Norms?
I haven't heard of that, but it's that doesn't make it impossible.
All I want is for those games to exist with fucking save states on the 3DS. Like, at that point, I will feel comfortable doing The Legend of Zelda as an assignment.
I think they did update... at least Legend of Zelda with save states.
Oh, okay.
I haven't verified that, but I remember hearing that.
Yeah, because I don't want to. I like that's a game that if we do it as an assignment, I really want to actually play through the entire thing, yeah. And I don't want to be sitting at a computer to do
really.
That. Yeah, I don't
I feel
know
like
why
you almost always go PC given the option of the two.
Well, I don't know. A handheld game. I never like 100%ed Symphony of the Night until I had it on a handheld.
Was
right?
it on a PC before?
No, but it was on a console. Right. Huh. Like I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, I put however many hours into Skyrim on a PC or whatever, but like an old Nintendo game, if I can play it on a Game Boy without losing like the sort of base functionality that's necessary for me to play a retro game at this point, then I would always rather do that because I can play it like while I'm smoking a cigar. I can play it while I'm pooping, or I can play it while I'm simultaneously pooping and smoking a cigar.
Pooping out a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so I swallow one and then I smoke one.
Right.
So then later I have another one handy.
Makes perfect sense.
So this assignment.
Dungeon Keeper 2.
Dungeon Keeper 2.
It was okay.
You guys didn't play very much of it.
I didn't play a whole lot of it. I played like the first two levels.
I wanted to. I spent like a good hour or so getting it set up and actually getting it to run on my machine the first night and got through the first two tutorial levels.
Is it?
And then today.
Do you eventually unlock some kind of treasury room that lets you hold more than 16,000 gold?
Yeah, okay. The very next level.
Because that was kind of annoying.
Yeah,
you get that pretty quick. I mean, you know, you should be spending it in the early ones. You should be spending it anyway.
Yeah, man.
This game has a lot of problems.
It's got a lot of potential, too. Like, it seems like. You know, again, I've only seen the beginning of it, but listening to other people talk about it, it sounds like they add a bunch of features that make it much more interesting and fun as you get more into it.
They do, sort of, but it's so in play, like I played a lot of this game when it came out, like a lot of it. And I think some of that was because when this game came out, it was a time when I could afford like one computer game every couple of months. Mm. And that's what I had. Right. And so it was I was a lot less likely, like except in the case of that fucking Star Wars real time strategy game, that was just awful, to buy a game for $60 or $50 and then play it for an hour and quit. So I think the core problem with Dungeon Keeper and Dungeon Keeper 2 and, you know, say Dungeons or whatever, the new, like, this is the second coming of this particular kind of Christ, that everybody really wants there to be a good game that is about you making a dungeon and filling it with traps and monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there is one.
Dwarf Fortress is nearly that, but Dwarf Fortress is
almost impenetrable.
Almost impenetrable, yeah. Almost impossible to play unless you've been in it from the beginning.
What's your dislike or disdain for Dungeon Lords?
Dungeon Lords?
The
board game?
Board game.
Oh, Dungeon Lords, the board game, I don't like because there is a very small number of very long math problems that you have to do in the game, as opposed to something like Agricola, where there are a really large number of really simple math problems that you have to do.
Okay.
So Dungeon Keeper, it's got that Molyneux problem, right, where there are a lot of systems in the service of a lot of like theoretical emergent gameplay stuff, but it is not a sim. It is built like a sim, mm-hmm. but they don't let you play it like a sim. They give you these RTS goals to accomplish in each mission, and then it almost seems like with the possessing monsters and then having to run them around, it's like, wait a minute, we decided that our sim was a shitty RTS, so let's also make it a shitty first-person shooter so that you can actually...
I'm glad
so
I that didn't get
you
far
can actually
to
complete
see that.
These goals.
That sounds
it's
annoying.
Not, you know, it is not terrible, right? But it's just, it is not the kind of game that I want. Like, so I don't think that I ever actually figured this out when I was playing it before. It is frustrating. Like, you'll think, like, okay, there are these guys. These guys have breached my dungeon, and they are sending these fighters in. Also, this game is so fucking ugly, and even when it was running at native resolution, so fucking ugly. You said, and this was a thing that I thought too while I was playing it, like this would have been a way better game in 2D.
I just felt like there was nothing served by the 3D. Like I had a really hard time in a lot of cases, like seeing how many of the squares I had selected to dig out. Like
yeah,
I was like,
because
I wanted to do like 3x3 or 4x4, and like
deformation
sometimes
deformation of the squares that sometimes happen to make them really weird shaped. Yeah, that was. So once you have to start possessing stuff and running around inside the dungeon, then it becomes a lot clearer, like why it's in.
Why 3D. There's a 3D engine?
Yeah. You know, all right, so there's these guys, they're coming into my dungeon, and I think that underneath this giant thing that both totally fucking obscures the thing that I'm looking at and also doesn't give me any information that's readily visible about how many fucking hit points they have.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
God.
You know, there is something to be said, and I know that a lot of art directors don't like this, but there is something to be said for a red bar on a black background in a single pixel high contrast fucking hit points bar above the head of an enemy to tell you how many hit points it has. So this one is like a flower, and in the middle of the flower is what level the monster is, and then tiny little nearly invisible petals telling you how much of their hit points that they have left. And the flower also, the center of it also oscillates between what level the thing is and what it's doing at the time, like a Sims motivation style. So there's guys attacking your dungeon, and what you have to do is you have to pick up all of your monsters and drop them somewhere so that maybe half of them will run and attack those guys, but the other half will just run back to whatever they were doing.
What is that? The limited experience that I got was picking up a bunch of like warlocks and dropping them where I wanted them to shoot some guys and then having them just run back to where they came from. I was like, what the
because
fuck?
They were probably in the middle of doing something else. And because they are hungry, their primary motivation is to path to wherever the chickens are and eat some of the chickens.
Jesus.
Right? Which is why you shouldn't be given control over them.
Exactly.
Right? Like and if the game isn't fun with the goals that are set without you being able to control them, set different goals.
Yeah.
Like that's the entirety of this issue, right? Like it is not a real-time strategy game, and so when you force people to play a real-time strategy game within this framework, it just kind of sucks. I still like it. Because the idea of building a dungeon and filling it with traps and populating it with monsters and stuff is really cool and is really compelling. And I think that, like...
Have you played Evil Genius?
I have not.
I have not either.
I heard it was reviewed really badly, and I think it's got... I think it's similar. I think it's...
Jim played it a lot.
Our buddy.
He seemed to really enjoy it.
Yeah. I don't know if he really liked Dungeon Keeper, you know. It got easier to deal with the stuff that you had to do once you became able to possess a creature. And then I think this is a thing that I never figured out when I was playing it before, but you have to, it says, hit the group button to add another monster to the group that you're in.
Huh.
And so you have to be moving around and look around, and then you hit the space bar, except that it's not fucking WASD, it's the arrow keys. You have to, like, you have to highlight something by looking at it, and everything is running around like fucking crazy all the time. So most of the time, what you end up with is another fucking imp in your group, and then hit the space bar. Nowhere in the key bindings does it tell you that that's the key. I just guessed that was the key to add something to your group. And then when you're running around, the rest of those guys will follow you and they will do whatever you're doing.
Oh, wow.
So they gave you the ability. And in like, there's a level later on where they do a kind of a cool thing where like you can build a prison. And then when you kill one of the good guys that's coming in, your imps will drag them to the prison. And then from there, you can either, in later levels, you can either pick them up out of the prison and drop them in the torture chamber, whereupon something will come in and torture them until they give up and some of the map is revealed to you. Or if you leave them in the prison long enough, they turn into skeletons that are under your control.
Huh.
So then there was a level where there were these fear traps that none of your minions would get near, except skeletons aren't afraid of them. So if you possess a skeleton, you can run in and then just run right up to the fear trap and hit it with the sword over and over again.
That's interesting.
So the campaign seems like the wrong way to showcase what this game is good at. That my pet dungeon is, in my mind, what the game should have been. which was just you have like a time limit and a goal to score this many points, and you can trigger invasions of good guys if you want to. But not having there be like scenario driven things where it's like capture this point, and we're not going to tell you what the map layout is like. So randomly at some point, your dungeon is going to fill up with dudes, and then you're going to reload and not dig out that particular square that let them all in.
Right.
Or whatever. I didn't get to this point on this playthrough, but some of the people in the forums were saying that it gets better once you start running into other keepers, because you're just competing with another guy that's got a dungeon in there, which makes a little bit more sense.
They were talking about being able to slap the units around. What does that do?
It motivates them. Like the imps, if you slap them, it will take away one of their hit points and then give them like a haste X amount of time, which is super tedious, and it makes me feel like an asshole, so I just never do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And also, you don't know, it's like, it always seemed like, you know, I guess you can probably slap the warlocks to make them research faster, but that just doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, it is going to be really difficult for a game to convince me that it's a good idea to slap a warlock. I mean, unless the game is like Warlock Slapper.
3D. 2K11.
Did you play that Turkey Puncher game? It was like an arcade game that you could play in like Space Quest 3.
Jesus.
Yeah. No, I was in something. I was in a different game. Astro Chicken was the the Space Quest one. What game had Turkey Puncher in it? Was that like a Duke Nukem?
I don't know.
Maybe. That seems right. No, that had Woman Puncher.
Yeah.
I mean, it had an arcade game about some stairs.
So what's our next assignment?
Our next assignment was your idea. Play Left 4 Dead.
Boop. Actually, forum readers convinced us to do Left 4 Dead 2 instead. So the assignment is not Left 4 Dead 1, it's Left 4 Dead 2. Boop.
Yeah, I mean,
play it together with Hot Dog Crew.
That's our idea. I think we're going to tentatively say 8 p.m. Eastern time, try to get a group together for Left 4 Dead. I don't know how the multiplayer stuff works.
What time is that here?
6 p.m. in Arizona. 5 p.m. in the West Coast. And we'll just see if we can pull that off. I'm going to be gone for most of the weekend and stuff, so I'm just going to try to get it done that evening. Do you think I should play through it single player first?
You might play
some of it.
A mission, okay. Single player. They're pretty well encapsulated, and they last like maybe an hour.
Okay.
Or an hour and a half.
It's supposed to be kind of scary, right?
It is kind of scary.
That's cool.
They've got some AI that makes you scary. Were we done talking about Dungeon Keeper? You guys didn't really have anything to say.
He has a thing. I just didn't see enough of it. Like, it just kept crashing like over and over and over again on the third level, and I don't know what the fuck.
I spend a fair amount of time thinking about what a good game where you build a dungeon and fill it with traps and populate it with monsters would look like. And I don't have a really good...
People have tried a bunch of different ways, and nobody's hit on the magic formula yet.
I mean, there's that iPhone game from the geodefense guy, right? What's that even called? Dungeon? It's Dungeon something, right? Sort of
Tiny
like...
Tiny Heroes.
Oh, Tiny Heroes. Dungeon Heroes. So that's kind of like that, but not really.
I mean,
like, you're not building a dungeon. Yeah. I mean, Dwarves is kind of like that. But not really, because you're trying to avoid, you're the good guys in that.
Fortress is kind of like that, except not really, because you're not explicitly building a dungeon, you're just building...
A dwarf fortress.
Dwarf fortress.
Right. You're building an addiction. I just don't know. You know, the simulation aspects of it are what make it possible for that to be the goal of a game, right? And if the simulation aspects of it are not capitalized on properly, and... I mean, that's the thing about a sim, is that it's hard to put a reward structure in a sim, and so it's hard to make it compelling as a game.
I wonder, like, now that we're in the internet age, if you designed a dungeon and then you posted it online.
And then other people who were playing a different game where they crawl the dungeon, crawl the dungeon.
And then they rate it to see whether they thought it was fun or hard or whatever. You know, you have a couple different axes or whatever, and then it sort of percolates the best stuff to the top.
The problem with that is that the things that percolate to the top are the things that give you the most gold for free in the first room with no monsters.
Well, but
right, so you have to figure out a way to not do that, right? Which is, you know, which is why in these things, like the feature in City of Heroes, where you can make a mission for other people, and they've done this in EverQuest 2, which I kind of want to check out. now that it's free to play. If I don't know that you get to that stuff.
Right.
You know what? I think maybe you can, because I think I was reading about it, and you cannot play through it as your own character. That's how they do it.
Huh.
You can't.
Wow.
They have yet to figure out a way to. And it's got to just be because of the possibility of exploiting it.
Right.
They've yet to figure out a way to make it so they can let you take your own character in there and have you actually killing those monsters and stuff. So I think you're earning, you know, dungeon chits or whatever that maybe you can turn in for something else. I don't actually know that that's true, but that's probably what I would do.
Interesting.
But yeah, you know, I mean, I think they run into this problem. And so they have to hamstring your ability to make interesting things in the dungeon so that you don't just exploit it to get the most amount of gold for the least amount of danger or whatever, right? And that's like that you lose sight of what makes the games fun in the first place when all you're doing is just trying to turn them into the most efficient possible endorphin factories, you know?
Huh.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Games are too easy these days. That's what they say. The people who were criticizing us on the forums about, or who were saying that we were wrong, that the save system in Cave Story is not overly punitive.
Feel like it was overly punitive. I just
felt like it was more of a hassle than I wanted to deal with.
Right. Sure.
All right. So everybody, let's play some Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead 2.
Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can find us on the Video Games Hot Dog group in Steam. You can join that Steam group if you want, and there's a bunch of people in there, and maybe they play some other stuff. I know I sure get a hell of a lot of things popping up all the time while I'm playing stuff, telling me other things that other people are doing. Now, I guess that's a thing people want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Every once in a while, it'll be like, somebody is playing The Binding of Isaac, and I'm like, fuck, I should play The Binding of Isaac. But then I don't, because then I'll be like, oh, somebody will think I'm copying them.
I think I'm looking for them.
I want The Binding of Isaac to be like an original idea to play it every time I want to. I haven't played it in a few weeks. I think
I haven't played it in ages.
I might be.
You guys are over the hump.
Wait, they did it. There was a patch, I guess. Cool. I'll see you guys in whatever the hospital in Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead 2.
We don't have much in the way of listener mail, and we are running a little long anyway, so why don't we just tell the nice people how they would send us a question, if they wanted to send us a question, how they would find us on the internet?
Well, they could tweet us at VGHotDog. They can email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com, and they can check out the website, which has links to the forums. The website's at VG... Sorry, that's not it at all. The website is VideoGamesHotDog.com. Or vg.hot.dog.com.net.hotdog.videogameshotdog.com.
No, that would not actually work. It has to end with hotdognet.com or it won't work.
Hotdognet.com?
Yeah.
Ah, jeez. Okay. Well, poop.
You did a terrible job.
Sorry.
Of recording this segment, Kevin. Anybody got any parting shots? I don't even know what we do at the end of this show. We tell people how to get a hold of us and then we quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we just go get drunker.
Drunker. Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great week, everyone.